Bless Pastor Steve as he brings this message to us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray this morning. Amen.
Amen. We are in our third week of this Advent season of preparation, and so we're going to continue on with our series, Christmas, the Whole Story. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at some of the Old Testament promises that God had made, and how even in that time of silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament, that God was still at work. His promises were still in effect, and they were waiting for the exact right time for them to come to pass. Last week, we looked at Mary and Joseph and some of what they were going through, and that idea of having the courage to say yes when God asks something of us. And some of you have shared different things that the Lord has laid on your heart as well. And yes, it takes a lot of courage to take a risk and to step out in faith and say yes to God. And that, it looks like a lot of different things in our life. And maybe it looks different at different stages in your life as well. Today, we're going to turn to the unexpected recipients of the good news. And as we sang earlier about the three wise men, and they saw that star far away. We'll talk a little bit more about them next week. But little did they know that there was a whole other group of people that were experiencing something unexpected as well. For in the same darkness of that night, God broke through an ordinary night with the most extraordinary news delivered to the most unlikely people, a group of shepherds. The shepherds remind us specifically that their part in this story is such that God often works through those who might be overlooked, those that society kind of pushes to the side, that God often chooses to work with the unlikely and the overlooked and the unqualified, or we should say seemingly unqualified. Some of you might be familiar. There's a classic book called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Anyone ever read that book before? Well, they have made it into several movie versions. This was a story that it's a thin little book. It's a wonderful story. And I know because my mom has a copy of it, and every Christmas, one of the traditions was to read this story. And the best Christmas pageant ever is this story about this group of wayward children, the Herdmans, six kids, and they were known as the worst kids in town. Maybe growing up, maybe you identified with that, maybe not. And these were kids that were always in trouble, and their family was poor. They often had child services at their home. They didn't know anything about the Bible, Jesus, let alone the Christmas story. But then one Sunday, one year, they decided to show up at church, not because of a work of the Holy Spirit, but because they heard that there were snacks. And free food is still a draw today to lots of, if you've ever been in a youth group or attended a youth event, free pizza is a huge draw, and it's a good draw for adults as well, free snacks. To everyone's shock, these kids, this family, they ended up with all of the main roles in the annual Christmas pageant. Mary, Joseph, the wise men, the angel, and the shepherds. And you can imagine what some of the traditional church folks did. It's a little bit shameful, actually, how judgy the people were. You mean these roles are all going to those children? And they were scared at what was going to happen. The church expected chaos, but on the night of the pageant, a surprising thing happened. And I actually have a clip from, it's an old movie, 1983, maybe not old for some of you, but it, pre-HD, so bear with like the little grainy quality and some of the weird edits. And it's actually available on YouTube for free. So if you want to go home, it's only about 45 or 50 minutes. We want to watch a little clip of that today.
What's next?
There were shepherds keeping watch by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them.
Shazam!
What?
Out of the black night with horrible vengeance, the mighty Marvel!
Gladys, I don't know what you're talking about.
The mighty Marvel in Wonder Comics!
No, this is the angel of the Lord who comes to the shepherds.
Out of nowhere, right? In the black night, right?
Well, yes, in a way.
Shazam!
Well, I wouldn't just hang around on the barn with that baby in the middle of winter. I'd go kick somebody out of the motel.
What's the name of this place? She never said.
Christmas pageant. That's no name. That's what it is.
I know a name. I call it Revenge at Bethlehem.
They were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Lord came upon them. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. When the angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, "Fear not." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." The shepherds also returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
It's a fun story, and if you have never seen it before, there's a few modern remakes of it as well, but the Herdman kids, they had heard the story for the first time, and they stepped into this role not really knowing what they were doing, and they surprised everyone, themselves and the whole audience. And they had this unpolished way that I'm sure if you've ever seen a Christmas kids pageant before, it's usually like semi-controlled chaos, but sometimes those are the best moments. And the audience was moved in this story to see the birth of Jesus in a new way. The group of the least likely in the town shared the story in the most powerful way. And often that is how God chooses to work in his world. And he often does that with you and me and others, ordinary folks invited into the most extraordinary story of all. And that's exactly what God did the night Jesus was born. Coming to a group of shepherds out in the fields, he didn't send his angels to people that were in power. He didn't send them to people of influence. God didn't speak in the palace or the temple, but to this group in the field. And a star for some people that were far, far away. I want to read a few verses from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. It's the well-known part of the story. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And I'll stop there for now. Imagine this group of shepherds, night after night, out in the field, far from town, on the margins of society. It was a group of people that all the other folks tended to look down upon. They saw shepherds as dirty, unreliable, unimportant. And yet in God's eyes, they were none of that. In fact, they were the opposite. God reveals this surprising news of great joy to them, and it's the least likely who God includes. And he elevates and gives them a place of honor. They receive the news before anyone. All these shepherds out there night after night, they were probably half asleep when this happened. And suddenly the glory of the Lord shone. And at first they're terrified. Until the angel says what? Do not be afraid. I got some amazing news for y'all. This reminds us, and it should remind us, that God often chooses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And he wants to partner with you to continue to share his good news all throughout the earth in ways both small and big. To make small impacts repeated over time, or perhaps in moments to make gigantic impacts for the sake of his name. He uses ordinary to show the extraordinary. The angel's words, I imagine, must have stunned the shepherds. I bring you great news, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This is news that wasn't just for the powerful. It wasn't just for the religiously right people or perfect people that they thought they were. This was not news just for the people who seemed to have it all together, who figured everything out before they came to church. No, this was news for who? All the people. This was news meant for everyone, even if they didn't know what that meant quite yet. They would find this baby wrapped up in some cloths in a dirty barn, a manger filled with hay. If you've ever been in a barn with lots of hay, it's not always the most pleasant smell. It's usually there's a lot of stuff on the ground. It's not where you'd want to walk, let alone walk with sandals. It's unexpected news that this is how God chooses to come to earth. God didn't invite the shepherds to go to the palace and share the news. He didn't direct them to the temple. He sent them to this barn to see the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the one who meets us where we are at. He doesn't need you to be perfect. You can't be. He doesn't need you to clean up your life before he comes to you. He doesn't expect you to solve all your problems and present this perfect image on a Sunday. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for you, a heart that is willing and open to receive him. I think God chooses often to use the unexpected and the ordinary, because then there is no doubt who is at work. There is no doubt who gets the glory. When God makes himself known through ordinary people and in ordinary ways, we realize it's not me, it's not us, it is all God, all the time. To God be the glory. If the angels had gone to Caesar in Rome, if they had gone to the priests in the temple, people would have expected that. They did not expect this. 1 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul says that God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. People, remember, had been waiting for hundreds of years for the promised Messiah. And then when the Messiah finally came, God almost pulled like a switcheroo on everybody. I'm sure they were expecting something to happen in the temple in Jerusalem, but that's not what happened. We know the story. Christ was born in a backwater town, a town that people didn't like, a town that people had said, can anything good come from that area? Those are the places that God chooses. He's not impressed by titles or status. He's not impressed with the list of things that you have done. He's impressed with the state of your heart, and that's what he looks for. I was thinking, as last week I asked how many people had their trees up, and a lot of us didn't. I didn't. So I finally did put my tree up. But it's just up, and there's four ornaments on it. Just the four ornaments that we bought this year on our anniversary. All the other ones are sitting on the floor next to it, but they have yet to get on the actual tree. And as I was pulling some of the ornaments out, I was reminded of all of those homemade ornaments. Maybe you remember making some of those in school. Or if you have kids or grandkids, you might even have some of them that you put on your tree. You know, those ones with too much glitter that goes everywhere, or popsicle sticks and weird drawings. I have a picture of one of those ornaments. This is one of the ornaments on our tree. And I was told I could use this picture because this was the first angel that Rebecca made way back in preschool. And nobody would say that this is a beautiful work of art in the traditional sense. But you put it on your tree because of who made it. I remember when we had ornaments like this on our tree growing up, my mom, we would put them on, and sometimes my mom would just kind of like, she still left them on, but she would just kind of move them a little bit to the side or the back, so that they weren't quite in full view, but they were still on the tree, because she was proud of the things that we had made, but she still wanted her nice ornaments on the front. No one would mistake that for an expensive gift or a decoration. But every year when we unwrap that, or maybe the ones that you unwrap, that you put on your tree, they're treasured. They have a story behind them. And you remember who made them, whether it was you or someone else that you know. It's valuable because of the hands that made it, not because it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Well, and to be honest, those wings do, you know, the piece of tape, the wings kind of, you know, they shuffle back and forth. It was one of those, you know, preschool craft projects that everybody's done. I think that this is how God saw those shepherds. Not the most beautiful thing in the most traditional sense, but something that God was willing to connect with and reveal his glory on that dark night. To reveal himself in a way that no one else would have thought possible. He doesn't need you polished or perfect or professional. He delights in the ordinary, the humble, when we have willing and open hearts, as I've said. That's what he's looking for, not perfection. This is hard because I have some of that perfectionist quality. Maybe you have that in certain parts of your life. It's hard to kind of like suppress that at times and to recognize that that's not what God is looking for, because there is only one who is perfect, and that's our Savior Jesus. When the shepherds heard this news, they faced a decision how they would respond to this good news of great joy. So let me read the rest of Luke 2 this morning. Verse 13, it says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." I don't know if they had a bottle. Probably not at that point. Jesus was probably crying. He's in that scratchy hay, and the shepherds get there and they see Jesus. Verse 17, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." This group of shepherds, they immediately left the familiarity of the fields. They left their flocks. I mean, they were there to protect their flocks in the night from wolves and maybe other predators. They left their flocks. I don't know if there was one left behind maybe to tend them or not, but they left all of their source of what they knew and their comfort and their routines, and they go to see what God is doing. They step into the unknown, and their ordinary lives are interrupted by the extraordinary news and work of God. And it's somehow, we don't know exactly how, they were compelled to want to go and see it. To see it with their own eyes at what God was doing. What this says to me is that God's glory moves us. It's not just a fancy light show in the sky. God's glory moves us. It might even terrify us if we were in that same position to witness the full glory of God on display. It moved the hearts of this group of shepherds. This glory was a visual manifestation of the power and presence of God. I looked up the word this week. The word for glory in the Bible is the word doxa. Maybe you've heard variations of that, like doxology or other religious sounding words. But doxa is the word, and it doesn't just mean brightness and splendor, like a bright light. It also means the weightiness and power of God's presence. That when the glory of the Lord shone forth, the people were struck, this group of shepherds were struck with the weight and power of God's presence among them. Maybe you've experienced that at some point in your life, maybe perhaps not, where the power and presence of God just takes on a new meaning for you. God's glory often works this way. It's not passive or static, like you look up into the sky and say, "Wow, that's pretty cool." No, it's much more of an active thing that prompts us to move and respond to God. This is the joy of Christmas, the glory of God. We see and experience the wonder of God through the baby Jesus, and it moves us to respond in our lives. Now, this doesn't always look dramatic. This might just move us in small ways to respond to people around us, to reflect that light out into the world. Sometimes it's very specific. God says, I want you to go speak to this person. Other times it's more subtle. Live the good news. Reflect my light and love out into the world, God says. Maybe you've encountered Jesus like that before. Maybe it was in a quiet moment, or when you were reading a particular scripture, or you suddenly encountered God when you were least expecting it, and it just took you aback in a new way. Later in Jesus' ministry, when he was an adult at this point, he tells people that they too can live as lights in the world and carry the glory of God with them. I want to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." When the glory of God breaks into our lives, it's not meant to be hidden away. It's meant to be put on display and shared and reflected out into our world. Don't worry, I'm lighting this a little bit later in the service, so it's not going to burn all the way down like last Sunday. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. You don't hide that away. What happens if we put a giant, I didn't want to enact this morning, what happens if we put a big glass cover over this? Not only does it, well, you can't see it, it snuffs it out. No, the light of the world that Jesus wants us to share is to be seen, not hidden away like some secret treasure. When you encounter Jesus, you carry his light into the world, into the people and the places that you inhabit. Maybe it's with the people that you work with, or people in your school, or when you're standing in the grocery store, all of those ordinary things that we all do or are a part of. That kind of light isn't a light that's trying to seek attention or draw attention to itself. It's about pointing others to Jesus so that God receives all the glory. That's what Christmas is about. May God be glorified. So this Christmas, I would simply say, let your light shine. What that looks like might be a little bit different for everyone. How will you let your light shine this Christmas? What is one small act that God might be calling you to say yes to that would help you to shine that light into the world? If you've ever participated in a candlelight service, and we'll do this next Sunday, you know that each of the candles is beautiful, each light is beautiful, but as it gets passed amongst all of the people, the light grows and it multiplies and it eventually fills the space. It's as if hope is ignited. That's what light can do. And that's what God wants to do through us, through you and me. In this season of Christmas, you might have people in your life right now. You might be thinking about those who are walking or living or suffering in darkness or hopeless places. Maybe it's a friend or a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor or a coworker. God doesn't simply want us to experience his glory in a warm, comfortable space That's why he was born in a barn, in the cold and the dark. He wants us to shine his glory out into a world that's looking for hope, is desperate for hope, in a world that's searching for peace and that is in so much need of joy. Those are in way too short supply in our world right now. Maybe that's always been true to some extent. But right now, we need to be hope and peace and joy and love for our world. And perhaps it begins with you, through those simple, ordinary acts. The things that you do that people may never even realize, or that you might not even know the impact ever, or maybe way later in your life. I want to close today with a story. Just before World War II in 1939, as the days were growing darker and evil was spreading, a 30-year-old man named Nicholas Winton was so moved to act. And many people were fleeing the Nazi advances, and as Winton saw so many children in need, trying to escape, he was determined. That's probably not even the strong enough word. He was compelled to act. And he worked quietly, without fanfare. He arranged trains and papers and safe homes, and eventually he saved, they estimate, about 669 children, including Renate Kress, a young girl from the Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia at the time. She almost missed the train because she had a temperature of 104, but her mother knew she had to get her child on this train, and Nicholas Winton helped make it possible. This young girl, 64 members of her family died at the hands of the Nazis. Her extended family, she was one of the few that survived. For almost 50 years, nobody knew about Mr. Winton's efforts until the BBC finally decided to do a story, to tell part of his story. And so they invited him to come to one of their studios to tape a part of this story. And they had him sit in the audience. This was in 1988, some 50 years later. And he didn't know it then, but seated in the audience in the first five rows were all of the people that he had saved personally. And the announcer of the show said, without his knowledge, she said, "Stand up if you owe your life to Nicholas Winton." And they all did. This was a guy who was reserved and quiet. He never saw himself as a hero. He didn't want any accolades, and yet he was moved to tears in that moment. And he thanked and was embraced by many survivors, including young Renate, who was 5 years old at the time, and now she was 55. And she was in the audience to thank him. One ordinary life, moved with compassion to act. And he brought light and hope for hundreds of children, and I'm sure countless families. A little light in the midst of that darkness can make a big difference. Like Winton, the shepherds didn't seek recognition. They didn't seek accolades, and yet they showed a willingness to respond to what they had seen. They were compelled to act and share the good news, because that's how God works. He uses ordinary people and invites them into his story. It's not about what you have or how polished you are. It's bringing what you are and what you have as you are. This Christmas, don't underestimate the power of God to meet you in those ordinary moments and invite you into the extraordinary. It can make a difference that you'll never know. You may never know the impact. As the glory of God breaks into those unexpected places, may it touch you this Christmas to shine God's light out into the world. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the ways that you move in our world. and how you reveal yourself to, in so many different ways. You don't always reveal yourself to the mighty, but you reveal yourself to the least likely. And we thank you today for meeting us in the ordinary places of life and for showing us your extraordinary glory. Just as those shepherds hurried to see you and carried the good news to others, help us to go and share your light with the world as well. May our lives reflect your presence so that others are drawn to the hope and joy of Christ this Christmas. We pray this all in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all for being here today on this third Sunday of Advent. Now, as we prepare to go, receive these words. May God fill you with joy and peace. May he fill you with hope and love in this season of Advent. Live by the power of the Holy Spirit, for without God we can do nothing. We do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go in peace. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you all again.